Welcome to the We Have a Meeting podcast, where we sit down with the world's smartest thinkers to give you the actionable tools, insights, and strategies that could make your life more impactful and productive. This week, we have a meeting with
Welcome to another episode of the podcast. Our guest this week is a man who needs no introduction, but I will give him one anyway. A natural sales leader, a man who's led me, taught me a lot over the years, a natural guest for the podcast, and a man who teaches you a lot of things, potentially over a few pints. Today, our guest is Luke Dash. Luke, how are you?
Great. Thank you, Zach. Thanks so much for having me.
No problem at all. So, mate, I thought the best way of doing this would be just to jump straight in with the questions. I thought that'd be the best way of helping people get to know you. So if you were sat with my nana and she said, what do you do for a living? How would you explain what you do?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd be incredibly grateful to sit with your nana because I'm sure she's lovely, as all your family is. I think when you strip it all back, and I've been in senior leadership for a decade now, which makes me feel really old, and I probably had a couple of less chins when I started. But when I strip it all back, what I do for our business is, you know, support, motivate, coach, and ultimately help people carry the baggage that comes with constant overperformance and delivery, and making sure that I remove any roadblocks that either intrinsically or extrinsically just naturally get in the way of either salespeople, customer success managers, or marketeers. So that's really my kind of, if I had to do a job spec, that would be my job spec. So it's not that exciting, but that's the reality of it, Zach.
No, so what would you say then are some of the, if there is such a thing, what would you say are maybe top two or three things that have come up in different companies that you've worked for? Is the trends that you see in different places that you've worked?
Well, obviously, over the last 10 years, if you look at, say, for example, Essential, Lead Forensics, or ISMS Online Now, three very, very different businesses. Scale Up right now, PLC with Essential. But, you know, guidance and direction, I would say, is one core stability that just, you know, is essential in being a leader. And if the business hasn't got someone to follow, often we all end up going in different directions. And we know that that's never, never, ever a positive thing for a business. And I think agility and understanding and emotional intelligence as a leader to understand, you know, I've talked to you about it before. I'm a massive Blanchard fan with regards to situational leadership and motivation, et cetera, and understanding profiles of what people need at what time in order to get what the best out of them, if that makes sense. So I think that, you know, combining that direction with, you know, whether it be, you know, situational leadership or whatever, it's true emotional intelligence and knowing what a business and what individuals need at one time from you.
Yeah. So I think you've got a great story around that. As I always tell people, I've probably only had one good boss, and it was you.
Too kind, Zach.
But I think when you've broken it down to me before, and when we're talking about it now, and you see how you look at leadership, these are probably the things that other people are missing, kind of breaking it down like this every time. Would you agree with that?
Oh, do you know, I think that it's one of the most common factors in leaders. And it kind of boils down to often, I believe, why leaders get to where they are. So often in a business, and I've seen it more often than I've seen it not, is successful salesperson, really high performer, business is petrified of losing them. So what do? Oh, they're going to promote them because we don't want to lose them. So we've got to promote them, right? That's what's going to happen. And I think that what happens sometimes is, you know, businesses don't always understand that there's a very unique set of skills, to use the taken phrase, are required to be a good leader. And often it's an unselfishness that comes alongside that. And I probably wasn't the best salesperson. In fact, I was pretty crappy at times. But part of, you know, me being a good leader is that I truly do try to understand and endeavour to understand what individuals need. And that kind of, that goes from the macro communication to the whole business, which is the standing on tables, let's go, we can do it, the 300 star thing, versus the arm around the shoulder when the COVID rules aren't in place, you know, and seeing what someone needs that moment, that day, in order to get the most out of them. I think it's really lacking in leadership. Quite often I see people, you know, sales leaders, and, you know, I've had 14, 15 managers in a business before, and you see those kind of characteristics where they don't understand the people that they're leading. And often that causes mayhem, and it definitely causes underperformance and, you know, regretful leavers, if that answers your question.
1 million, yeah. Son. I think from what you said there, from bosses I've had in the past and conversations I've had with other managers and leaders and things like that, I don't think any of them have ever mentioned the word like emotional intelligence. Like, it for you as a leader to even hone in on that and think, actually, that's something that's so important. It is, if you know what's happening and you know what's under you at all time, then, and you know your staff, then that's going to give you the advantages to kind of lead them to glory. And like you said, you do need to have someone steering the ship. There's a reason, do you know what I mean? A cruise ship has a captain. Because if it doesn't, it's just going to iceberg ahead, Dash. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there we go. Exactly.
With that in mind, right? Okay, imagine you are on a cruise ship. You've got a pint in hand and you're looking out and there, all you can see is the sea. But instead of just pale blue sea, it's actually a sea of all your achievements. What would you say is the most important? Or what is the achievement that you're proudest of that you can look out and see?
Well, Jack, you know me well, and so you know there'd always be two pints in each hand, first of all. So let's get that straight before we crack on about achievements and, you know, all of that. I think, when I look back at it, and Zach, you were a part of an incredibly successful group over across the 4 years or so that we were with Essential. And, you know, goodness knows how many different awards as a sales team we won. I think that story there is something that I'll never forget, no matter how long and illustrious a career I hope to have. You know, I think it's pretty obvious when we came into Glenigan and we started building that sales team, it was almost a laughing stock within Essential. You know, Essential, big PLC, every year run these big awards, 2,000-3,000 people. And Glenigan was the company that never got called out for anything, you know, across the years and years and years and years. Now, you know, part of that was bringing in the right people, Mr. Thompson, as an example, as well as we redefined what that sales function looked like. It was very clunky, very archaic. You know, if you said, when I first joined the business, I said, everybody demo me. There were these hour and a half demos where it was, you know, death by feature of the platform, etc. We redefined all of it and brought it right, you know, up to speed with how kind of modern SaaS data businesses are being run. The knock-on effect of that, Jack, was we redefined Glenigan's position within that mother group of Essential to absolute domination across the next 3 years. Mm. You know, and there's all personal victories, etc., where you win sales leader of the year and all that sort of stuff. You know, great, great, great holidays, 10 grand holidays, all that sort of stuff. Very exciting. But I think probably the pivotal moment was where, you know, we brought 20 salespeople up on stage. Some of those people were in the doldrums of unsuccess at Essential and had been sitting there, pina colada in hand, year on year, watching everyone else collect this. But we won sales team of the year and the highest performing part of the Essential group. And I think that was probably the pinnacle because, you know, I was probably half cut, but I still do remember the look on everyone's face when they were up there collecting that award and the elation and questionable gestures that were being kind of distributed to the audience will stick with me forever. So I suppose that's definitely something that I, I'm absolutely incredibly proud of. And the way in which we sort of built that business for successful future, and it's still doing really, really well. And I think that's a really big sign as a leader. If you can step away from a business and look back at it and see that you've left the foundations and the roadmap for success, I think that's also something which I think is pretty nice to think of and nice to kind of remember about your time in a business.
Yeah, I think it's the there's a thing called like the picnic mentality, which is even if you're not there forever, you go down, you have a picnic, just make sure you tidy up, take your rubbish away, just leave it a little bit better than what it was before. And if you can do that and you can go into different companies and you can lead the team and then you can step away and go, right, my job's done here, that's great, but you're gonna go on to bigger and better things. I'm not leaving you in the lurch. I think that's incredible.
I'm the person to get the last pork pie at a picnic. That's what I'm and if there's any left, I normally fill my pockets.
Right, well, that's taken me back actually to some of the glory days there. I feel fired up.
Good one, wasn't it? It was a good one.
Yeah, exactly. The next question, probably a hard question for you to answer. I know you as an incredibly goal orientated man, so this is probably one of the harder questions that someone might ask you. But before it's all said and done, you sat on your yacht with your mojitos, margaritas, IPAs, whatever diet you're on.
Get that time. Yeah, depends what time of the year it is. If it's January, it's celery and air. Celery and air.
What do you think realistically left to achieve?
So it is a really difficult question, actually, because what I'm trying not to do is regurgitate the BS answer that I think, you know, people might want you to say, you know, and that kind of, well, I should say this up here and truly think about what there is to achieve. I'm actually still really green in my career, and I still think there's a huge amount for me to both learn, develop, and then also achieve. And one of the things that has really helped me progress in a way that I would class as quite quickly through to the position that I'm holding right now and have held over the last sort of 4 or 5 years is not looking so far down the road that you walk into the lamppost, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, ultimately, I think that often things happen in businesses and in life that completely can flip your goals, can flip your attention, can flip your focus. And that, I try to be quite kind of ever evolving in that as a person and go, right, well, by this day, you know, I don't have to be rigid around this. Now, I 100% believe in goals. Zach, you know, every single year you would have gone through the painful process of telling me every single goal, whether it be weekly, monthly, quarterly, or what you're going to do that year. And I think it's really important to kind of set those goals. But most importantly is understanding that things outside of our control impact those goals for good and for bad. And I think for me at the moment, as you both know, had a little nipper, birthday tomorrow, actually.
So, birthday tomorrow,
yes. Yeah, he's taking his first few steps. So that's pretty good. I'm pretty happy about that. Good. So I think, you know, at the moment, even in the last 12 months, my whole world has completely changed. And Zach, I know that you've been through a really similar journey yourself of late. What are you on, number 24 now? No, but, you know, in all seriousness, obviously there's life goals, you know, leaving a legacy for my son to look up to and go, oh, you know, I'm really proud of my dad. You know, my dad did this or my dad did that.
Yeah.
There's that side of things, future financial freedom for family and all that sort of stuff. But then secularly, you know, there's many things that I want to achieve still I have not yet achieved. And so for me, it's about realigning those focuses so that they all fit into one map. So I don't think I'm ready for the margarita yet. You know, but I think for me, there's that balance of life and happiness, which and fulfillment, I guess, that really needs to combine with the hardcore secular sort of milestones you set yourself as an individual.
Yeah. Sounds
I'm kind
like
of giving you a politician's answer there, Jack.
I mean, look, I know you. I think there's something about it's obviously not about money anymore.
No,
but it feels like it's maybe more about legacy. And it was probably about legacy before, but it just took you having your own son to realise you need to leave something behind.
100%. You know, and I think that there's something to be said for that. Because, well, you know, actually, just a quick 10 seconds on this. I was at a business, really, really successful SaaS business a few years back, and the owner is the most goal-orientated individual I have ever met. Phenomenally focused and driven, you know, to another level. And we spent hours and hours and hours kind of debating, is kind of the polite way to put it, because I had over 120 salespeople and he was saying, well, I need to know exactly what their goal is this year. What touch it, feel it, smell it thing are they going for? Is it, I want to buy a new house? Is it, I want a new car? Is it, I want a holiday? And my argument was actually, I don't think it's about that. Touch it, feel it, smell it. I think it's about the journey. And it sounds a bit cheesy, but the fulfillment and the hormones, the endorphins, all that sort of stuff that come along with achieving something, I believe, are way more powerful than the achieving it. Because quite often, you know, we set ourselves a goal. I want to buy a boat. You buy that boat. Now, are you at the epiphany of fulfillment? Well, no, because now it's what's next. And that's just a natural human instinct because, you know, we are that type of animal, and it's led to all the technology, you know, evolution and everything. So I do think the journey is the most important thing.
No, I totally agree with you. And if you listen to anybody, kind of young entrepreneurs and then kind of people that have been there and done that, they will say the same thing. It's the journey. And you, I think you gave a lot of insight there. And I think a lot of people will take away from this, Luke, because like you said, it's a balance of, it's not about money. It's not about success. It's about kind of the happiness and being, what you said about not bumping into the lamppost now falls back to just kind of having that power of now and just being in that moment, being present and being present with your son, and kind of there's so much more that you can do, but it's enjoying what you do have now, because who knows, life can flip and you might not. So it's just about the gratitude and the journey of appreciating what you've got. So this is a good last question for you, Luke. So imagine we're going to jump in the good job you didn't have that margarita. We're jumping in the DeLorean back to the future. You're driving. What advice are you giving to yourself on the first day of your professional career?
What advice? So just thinking about that, you know, I think if I had the choice to do it, I wouldn't do it, right? Just first, before I answer that question. And the reason why is I think that one of the most powerful assets of the young, whether it be, you know, I chose sales. I chose sales. So, you know, one of the most powerful strengths that a salesperson has early on in their career, which we don't have now, is that fearless attitude. You haven't failed. Right. And so when I, you know, I walked into a you know, huge media firm in London, I didn't, how I got the job, I don't know, because I didn't know what a corporate event was. So I didn't know what sponsorship was, but somehow we found our way there, and we had a desk and it was a computer then, not a laptop. It was a computer with a phone, you know, that's how it is. But that fearlessness that you have then, I believe, gets you further than a lot of different skills that you learn across the career. So first of all, I wouldn't choose to do it, but you put me in that position, Jack. I mean, you know, I'm back to the future. So I'm there. I think one of the most powerful things that has helped me to become more successful, and it goes back to something we touched on earlier on, is having control of my own emotional intelligence. You know, whether it be reading Chimp Paradox or whatever it may be, and all the different books that come along with it, whether it may be getting burned by making a really bad decision in a business, flying off the handle about something because you've had an argument at home that morning and suddenly someone's, you know, straw that's broke the camel, whatever it is, certainly within leadership to get to where I am now, I think that control and understanding of your emotional intelligence is one of the biggest assets. And so that was particularly something I struggled with early on in my career, and it 100% would have inhibited my progression within those companies earlier in my career, because what people need to see is a safe pair of hands and someone who is in control. Because if you're not in control, certainly the people that are looking up to you and wanting to follow you, they're very unlikely to be in control. And most importantly, unlikely to respect you and want to follow you. So I think go back 15 years, emotional intelligence, get a grip, you loser. Stop stressing out, you know, go for a walk. Stop. And, you know, I use this funny story. I had a manager, the best, you said about best managers, the best manager, a guy called Mark Peckham. He's still at IQPC. He's about 106 now. But, you know, he was the best manager I've ever had. And even down to when we talk about emotional intelligence, corporate events is, you know, loads of different stakeholders, etc. He used to tell me by the sound of my keyboard whether or not I should or shouldn't send that email. Because if I was banging on the keyboard like this, he would be like, stop what you're doing, go for a walk. Because he could tell my blood was boiling. And just by how hard I was hitting the keys. But that shows just how much of an emotional loser I was back then. And it probably took me, I probably only really got a grip of it about 6 months ago. honestly, it was very late on. And since I've got a grasp of it, and been better, my career has just absolutely catapulted. And I do put it down to not just one thing, Jack, but that's the one thing that I'm going to pick. It could probably be another 10, but I don't want to bore you with all of those brilliant things I've picked up along the way.
Luke, thank you so much. I think a lot of people will take this away. I know you as a person anyway, and you're a character, but I think what you've given is a massive insight. And in terms of leaders, I know Zach's been very complimentary about you over the years, and you do have all the traits of a good leader. And as you go forward and continue to lead others, I think you'll just grow and get better. And I think the biggest leadership task that you're going to have is kind of leading a little baby to become the best man that he can be. And I think you're set up for the job.
Hey, that baby seems to be leading me now, Jack. So I'll be the one following. Bottom of the food chain in our house. But Zach, you know that. Love the cat and dog.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for that. Oh, sorry.
No, don't be sorry, mate. Don't be sorry at all. If obviously, look, you are in full-time employment at the moment, but if anyone wanted to pick your brains, obviously, I couldn't advise speaking to you enough about business and growth and sales. Thank if you. Someone wanted to pick your brains, where's the best place to find you?
So you could drop me an email. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn. You could drop me an email. My personal email. I currently do two or three different consultancies and mentoring roles for a couple of legal tech firms in London. You know, I am very, very, very grateful for what two or three people did for me in my career. And ultimately, not to be cheesy and all that, but it'd be lovely to be able to have a positive impact, because you talk about legacy and things like that. You know, it does start to move away from money and all the targets and all of that sort of stuff. And it does start to come on making a difference and making a big impact with people. So, you know, luke.dash@live.co.uk. Drop me a note on LinkedIn. Always happy to have a chat. Yeah, thanks very much, Zach. And look, love what you're doing, boys. Great work. Really enjoy some of the content you're putting out on social at the moment. It's quite eye-opening. And yeah, great stuff. Keep up the good work.
Thank Lovely. You very much, Luke.
Cheers, Dashi. Thanks,
Cheers,
mate.
Chaps. Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Our books are now open. Friends, Romans, countrymen, if you're looking for more sales, and that might be getting more meetings in the diary, meeting more of the right types of people, or breaking into a new area or sector, we've got you covered in two key ways. Number one, we can do it for you. We can kick the doors down, get you the meetings, and do the prospecting that you hate. Or number two, we can teach you how we do it so you can do it for yourselves, creating repeatable, predictable results. So if you're interested in either of those things, www.wehaveameeting.com and hit the contact us form. Speak to you soon.